Saturday Night Country around Australia on ABC Local Radio, internationally via the World Wide Web through abc.net.au/snc, and also internationally on Radio Australia. And a very special moment for us tonight because we welcome to the program a man who is a legend in all forms of show business, the man himself, Smokey Dawson. Good evening, Smokey.
Hello, John. It's nice to hear your voice.
You're well?
Oh, I'm fantastic, yes. I'm getting better every day.
Well, we came
life in... has just begun, and every day I'm growing young.
Well, we came into this interview with that great song from this 3-CD set. It's called A Life in Song, Smokey Dawson, and this Writing with a Smile and a Song. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but looking at all these songs, and someone who's actually close to country music, obviously in Australia, I'm actually surprised the amount of songs you've recorded in the latter part of your life.
Well, it's amazed me too, because every morning I get up, I'm writing a song. My whole life has been in song, and I didn't realise I was going to live as long as this. And of course it accumulates as the days go on, and then I become very greedy when I found I was getting royalties for them, so I kept writing more and more.
Well, I can't blame you, Smokey, but that song we heard there, Writing with a Smile and a Song, is the theme song of Smokey Dawson, isn't it?
That's exactly right, and I did that when I was coming back from America back in 1952 to fill a contract with Kellogg's, and they said, would you write a theme for the song? So I did that.
So that was specifically written for that Kellogg's radio series.
Yes.
And you needed, of course, a theme song and music, and so you had to sit down and think of one. Did they just accept that song, Smokey?
Absolutely, yes. It just fitted into perfectly because they gave me an idea before I was coming back that the actual show, which was a 15-minute serial, which went about three times a week, The Adventures of Smokey Dawson at Jinder Warrabell Station. So I had to write a song too called Jinder Warrabell. And by the time I got back, I had it all ready, and we went down the studio and put it down.
Of course, there, Jinder Warrabell is not a real place, for those who don't know.
No, it's something, it has that feeling about it like we have the Never Never. And people used to always ask me where it was. They all thought what a beautiful place it was, and we wouldn't tell them exactly that it was in one particular place. It was like the Stockman's Hall of Fame. We made it so that everybody would like to go there and they wouldn't be jealous of each other's states.
When did you come up with that idea, Smokey? Because you were in America and you came back to Australia to do this show, didn't you? And you took some of those American radio and television influences with you. But when did you decide? We spoke about this before. Was it on coming back to Australia you thought this series up?
Absolutely. It took me about 12 months to make my mind up, because when I went over there, I never realised the impact it would have on the American people, my way of life and the things I had. And particularly when I had a kangaroo with me, which they never had. And so it was quite awesome. And by the time I got myself settled in, I had all these big offers, and on Broadway too, for that matter of fact. And then I suddenly was asked to come back to Australia. And I thought, well, I've got too much to do here. Things were really going for me. And then they wrote to me and said, well, Kellogg's, as you know, are only interested in long-term contracts, and we've got to do something soon to make up your mind. So I decided, well, be a success in my own country first. I think it'd be better than one in America. They said, don't hurry coming home. We want to arrange a big welcome home for you at the airport here. So when we got to Honolulu, they said, stay there a couple of days until we arrange transport for all the people here and get the kids down to the airport. And they ran out of buses when I arrived. I've never seen so many people in my life.
Well, that's the point, Smokey, is the fact that what I'm you know, I understand and we know that, and those people who are yes. as old as me know that. But there are a lot of listeners now who wouldn't know that thousands would come and see you because you were a big star of the day. And when you were in America, I mean, you're on, you did a show with, you know, Stock Whip and that kangaroo, for example, when that kangaroo escaped in America. I mean, that was news across the nation, wasn't it?
He sure did. Of course, an American had never seen a kangaroo before, but a film had been made here in Australia by Peter Lawford and Richard Byrne for 20th Century Fox. And in the scene, they had all these kangaroos racing through a bushfire. But the whole thing wasn't about a kangaroo. It was just about these two villains who were trying to get an old man's money. But I happened to be the technical advisor on that before they went with Peter Lawford and Richard Byrne with a stock whip, showing how they could belt each other to death, as it were, without even hurting them.
But when you were in America, I want to dwell on this before we go to our next song, and I just remind everybody that I'm talking with and we're sharing around Australia moments of Smokey Dawson's life through abc.net.au/snc internationally on the World Wide Web and, of course, on Radio Australia and ABC Local Radio. But when you were there in America, you were signed to Acuff Rose Publishing House by Roy Acuff. I mean, in the world of country music, a famous man.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the man that I really got in to see was old Fred Rose. Fred Rose was the greatest man ever. He and Gene Autry did quite a lot together. And he and Fred Rose started Acuff with Roy Acuff, who had a wine bar, but he was more sort of a silent partner. Roy used to do all the broadcasting, doing his act on the old Grand Ole Opry at the Ryman Auditorium when they were looking after Hank Williams. And I wandered down there, but my contact with Fred Rose was something that happened by accident, really, through having an accident. I was going to appear down at WAGC in Chattanooga, and I got a call to go down and join Jim Reeves at KWKH in Shreveport, Louisiana, to be on his show. And I went down to, got the car and went down to get some petrol while Dot was packing up. And lo and behold, a car ran into me and I finished up and against a stone wall and was put into hospital. So I didn't go down to Louisiana. Instead, I was put to bed, and while I was there, I wrote a song. It was called The Lord's Last Supper. And I went down all the way down to Nashville and saw Fred Rose after making an acetate record of it. And he put it on in front of his son there. And there was Pee Wee King and Eddie Arnold all listening in. And they said, what a fantastic song. And that's how I was put under a 3-year songwriting contract. Went down and had a big grill and signed up with Acuff Rose, and it came out and it was the first cut on Hickory Records.
Now, did you meet Hank Williams at that time? There's a famous photo of you with Hank Williams, is there not?
I sure did. It's an amazing thing about the way they did this at the old Opry. In the old Ryman Auditorium, it was one of these old gospel buildings. They used to use it for for preaching and that. And it was, people would line up for miles there in the heat wave, you know, three sessions a day. It'd seat about 5,000 people. And they had these big backdrops with the sponsor's name on, like Martha White Flower sponsors so-and-so, you know. And Hank would be out there in the front there singing Honky Tonk Blues or whatever it was. Well, somebody up at the back there was a carpenter putting up a banner. People wandering on stage while he was on. And when I signed this contract with Acuff Rose, he says, come on, we're going to take you down and we're going to meet Roy Acuff and we're going to introduce you to Hank. And I went down there and that's how it all started. And they said, well, you're in the one family now. I was under the same management and I had everything going for me. Really had.
There we heard a track from the album A Life in Song. We've heard Riding with a Smile and a Song. We're going to hear another one. We just heard The Days of Old Cancoban, and before that, Smokey Dawson, my very special guest, and I was talking about the times living and working in America and meeting Hank Williams and working with Roy Acuff and Rose Publishing House, famous publishing house in Nashville, and Fred Rose in those times. And I know that Smokey and I could talk for another 20 minutes just about those times. And I just want to relay a very quick story. When I was in America in 1996 at Nashville at Fanfare, Smokey and Dot Dawson were there, and they went to meet some people that had a particular association in America, keeping that spirit of, traditional American country music alive. And when I saw how Smokey and Dot were greeted by these quite important people, it brought home to me how well-loved and well-liked and how famous Smokey Dawson was in America. Do you remember those times, Smokey?
I sure do. They're memories are the real part of me that keep me alive. I've always got beautiful memories you can draw on for if you want to go back in time and enjoy yourself again.
Well, I'm going to tell everybody that you're 92 now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Don't mention it too often, that, will you?
Well, and for those who ask me, I can tell everybody that Smokey is extremely well for a 92-year-old. Now, we just heard The Days of Old Ken Coburn. Now, Smokey, when did you write that song?
Oh, that came later. Years before, we had a thing called Depression, the Great Depression. Everybody knew about that in Australia. And I was out of work, and I wandered down the down into the Alps there, and came to this beautiful place called Ken Coburn. And well, Captain Chisholm, who was breaking horses for the Indian Army. That's when Britain was in up there in the India. And so I wandered in there, and had nothing to eat or anything. It was just sort of going around looking for odd jobs. But I found this man very, very hospitable, and asked me would I like to have a job. But he said, like everybody else, you don't get paid here. You're one of the family. So anyway, I started. He said, you're a bit lean on it. But he said, can you ride? I said, oh, sure can ride. So we started that. And all those wonderful memories there, and the cattle and the mountains there, I could see it was like a beautiful picture. Every time I went into a trance, I'd see this glorious days. And these the rivers that were running down there. And I've always been a dreamer. I'm a Pisces, always in a dream world. And my, like Prohart, he always has ants. He's always ants, because ants were like miners. They were hard workers. And now I always sign off my autograph with a mountain. Climbing mountains is my adversities in life. When you climb one mountain, you look for another. And you see what's beyond. And it's one of these things that keep you going. And Ken Coburn was like that to me, and I had all these memories down. And I was sitting here one day, and I found this old letter from a mate of mine who was with me at the time. And that's when I started writing. I'm sitting here with memories, reading letters from old friends. And the way the song came, it just flowed, absolutely, John. I don't know, words just came, and all I was just telling the truth. Telling about where I'd been, and that's how you really write a song, about what you've been through.
Well, it's a beautiful song, Smokey Dawson. We've spoken already about those days of your radio serial and the series, a 15-minute show that ran for three times a week with that sponsor, Kellogg's, all those years ago, and I've got to say, in the golden days of radio, but it was really one of the last shows to stay on radio with the advent of television, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and we tried as much as we could to keep it going. Kellogg's, of course, were trying to get me. They thought that I should take some voice speech for acting when television came. And Dot, of course, you know, has been my greatest joy, and she taught me all I knew. And she said, he doesn't need any of that. He's got a natural voice, and that's how why I did it. And when it came in for television, they said, we can't afford to go into television. He said, but we'll have to change the style of the show from Ginger Waterbell is we're half hour Western, so we could match Guy Madison and Jiggles, who was played by Smiley Burnett over in America, and who was also sponsored by Kellogg's. So instead of being Wild Bill, it was Smokey Dawson here playing in my own right.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I had the experience of knife throwing and all this kind of thing. I was a real man of the outback, and so it was a natural for me to fit into a half-hour Western. And instead of being just stock whips all the time, I suddenly find I was with 245 Pearl Handle Colts.
Smokey, let's just dwell very briefly on the radio days. How many of those, can you remember how many of those radio shows you did?
Oh, it's innumerable. I couldn't actually go back, but it's strange, it happened the other night in Macquarie Network. Of course, every Friday night, Brian Wilshire, with Bruce Leonard from the archives, always puts on some of the old shows like Jack Davies and that. And would you believe it? They had Smokey Dawson half hour on shooting it out with some guy.
Well, of course,
still doing it.
Well, of course, they are available through the National Sound and Radio Archives, Sound Archives in Canberra. There's those Smokey Dawson episodes, and you yourself have put out a number over the years, haven't you, on CD? And I've got a collection of that. I might put a little bit of that on in just a moment, just a couple of minutes. We'll see how we go anyway, Smokey. But
right,
they're still around for those who've never experienced it. Smokey, we're going to go with a beautiful song. It is called Good Time Radio, and it just sums it up for me about those golden days of radio. Smokey Dawson, as always, it's just lovely talking with you, and love to Dot. She's 99 years of age, and you're 92, and, well, I said we'd only mention it once. I've mentioned it twice, but, Smokey, thanks for being with us around Australia and around the world.
Oh, thank you, John.